Once again, we come to hear your word today, O God. Prepare the soil of our hearts that they may be fertile ground to hear and receive your message. Amen. Well, if you worship with us in person, you will probably have noticed a small triangular mini garden to the left of the bridge leading into the church off the parking lot. Joan Browning, whom you know because she worships with us when she is here, for my birthday a couple of years ago, she gave me a quantity of red tulip bulbs. Most I planted at my house, but I brought a dozen to the church along with some daffodil bulbs, and since it was the right time of the year to plant bulbs, John Solberg did the heavy lifting to break the ground for that little tiny garden and plant the bulbs. I mostly just supervised and offered words of encouragement and tried to stay out of his way. But there were other hands that helped that day and later. I know who some of them were, but others I do not. The deadheading of flowers, the occasional weed pulled, the addition of little ceramic garden animals, the watering when John and I had not done it. It was indeed a bit of a community effort, kind of like the overall life of the church, isn't it? So this week I did some work on that little garden. I removed some pansies that had overstayed their visas, and I added some things to bring a little summer color. But the thing I liked best was scattering seeds on top of the bare soil, a collection of wildflower seeds. So they'll be a surprise. The envelope says they will begin to germinate in 5 to 7 days. So if all goes well, we should see tiny seedlings pushing up through the soil by this time next week, if the deer and the squirrels do not intervene. Although as I passed by this morning, I could see that somebody or something had been already digging in there. So we'll see. I love bedding plants that are already in bloom, but there is just something magical about the sowing of seeds. A handful of these little bits without any sign of life at all, and mysteriously hidden in each one is life. I think Jesus must love our little garden at the entrance of our church, and I think he knew and loved the mystery of seeds. He so often used illustrations about growing things in his teaching. The mustard seed, he said, is the smallest of all, and yet it produces a plant so large that birds nest in it. And he calls himself the vine and says that we are the branches and we are to stay connected to the vine in order that we may produce fruit. And of course, today's lesson, where he says that we are seeds and that we will take root and bear fruit according to where we are planted. I wonder if our potential for fruitfulness is not only determined by where we were planted, but also has something to do with our own attitude and our receptivity to him. I don't know about you, but sometimes my attitude and receptivity are better than at other times. One of my greatest temptations these days is to despair and cynicism and hopelessness. The devil tempts me to think, well, what's the use? What's the point? Do you know what I'm talking about? Some time ago, there was an item on the internet that reflected such an attitude. It was entitled, A Cynic's Guide to Life. Well, it made me laugh, partly at myself, but also because it was a clever takeoff on some of life's familiar cliches. See if any of these are familiar to you. The journey of 1,000 miles begins with a broken fan belt and a leaky tire. I believe for every drop of rain that falls, a flower grows, and a foundation leaks, and a ball game gets rained out, and a car rusts. Follow your dream, Unless, of course, it's the one where you are at work in your underwear during a fire drill. It's always darkest before dawn, and if you're going to steal your neighbor's newspaper, that's the time to do it. We may struggle in today's world to maintain a good attitude ourselves, because it's important to determine whether or how we will respond, or how often we will respond, or how deeply we will respond to the teachings of our Lord Jesus. So, Jesus is teaching by the Sea of Galilee. Such large crowds have gathered to hear him that he gets into a boat and sits into it in order to teach. And the people stand on the shore. And he begins his teaching with a parable. I'm going to be reading from Matthew 13, 1 to 9. That same day, Jesus went out of the house and sat beside the sea. Such great crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat there while the whole crowd stood on the beach. And he told them many things in parables, saying, "Listen, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seeds fell on a path, and the birds came and ate them up. Other seeds fell on rocky ground where they did not have much soil, and so they sprang up quickly, but since they had no depth of soil. But when the sun rose, they were scorched, and since they had no root, they withered away. Other seeds fell among thorns, and the thorns grew up and choked them. Other seeds fell on good soil and brought forth grain, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. If you have ears, hear. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Well, here's a thought. Jesus says that some seeds do not do so well, but some fall on good soil and that they sprout and bear an amazing crop. 30, 60, 100-fold times that which was sown. And that's who we want to be. We want to be the people who hear, who respond, and who live out the kingdom as best we are able with God's help. And most days, that's who we, as followers of Jesus, want to be and try to be. We live out the kingdom life as best we are able, not through our own efforts, but through the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. We want to be good seed, sown in the fertile soil of our faith. And more than that, we are to join Jesus Christ in sowing the seeds of the kingdom in the lives of others as well. Matthew 28, the last instructions that Jesus gives to his followers, says to go out into all the nations of the world and to baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and to teach them to obey everything that he has commanded. We are to communicate the gospel. And that communication takes many forms and shifts as time and as the world around us changes. There's a story about a man who took his family to one of those restaurants where the walls are plastered with movie memorabilia. And he went to see the hostess about getting a table for his family. And when he returned, he found his 11-year-old daughter staring at a poster of Superman in a phone booth. He whispered to his wife, "She looks puzzled. Doesn't she know who Superman is?" "Worse than that," she replied, "she doesn't know what a phone booth is." Well, so the message doesn't change, but how we communicate it does. It may take many forms. We communicate the faith to our children. We, through our gifts to the church, we spread the gospel to the world. But we know that Christ calls us to do more. We are called to spread the gospel to our friends and our neighbors and our co-workers. Now, how do we do that? Mahatma Gandhi led the nation of India through the process of gaining independence from Great Britain. In his autobiography, Gandhi says that during his early days as a student in South Africa, he inquired into Christianity. He attended a certain church in Pretoria for a number of weeks, but he writes that the congregation did not seem to him to be particularly religious. He said that they just seemed to be worldly-minded people going to church out of custom. And he said later, "I like your Christ, but I do not like your Christians. Your Christians are so different from your Christ." The best way to share the good news of the gospel is with love. Somebody once said, "Nobody cares how much you know until they know how much you care." Reinhold Niebuhr said that you may be the only Bible that somebody ever reads. The quality of your life is your greatest way to communicate. Someone is watching you, Christian. Somebody is deciding if it is worthwhile to follow Jesus. Many years ago, when my children, who are now in their 50s, I can hardly believe it, but when they were still living at home, we moved to Bluefield. Their dad and I were to be co-pastors at a new assignment in that city. Daughter Claire and I went shopping at a small mom-and-pop store that was in the neighborhood. And as on the parking lot and with our purchases, Claire counted out the change and she said, "Oh no, we've been given too much change. We need to go back into the store." Well, I resisted. I said, "Claire, it's not that much. It'll probably mess up their cash registers. Let's just go." But she insisted, and so we went back into the store, and Claire explained that we had been given too much change. And the woman said, "Yes, I know. I recognized you as one of the new preachers in town, and I just wanted to see what kind of a person you were going to be." That was a close call, because I never count change, but Claire always does. Bruce Larson tells about a young African woman from Angola who came to the United States. Her name was Maria, and she was always laughing. And one day she went to a meeting at her church about evangelism, and they were talking about pamphlets and missions and campaigns and all the rest. And at one point, somebody turned to Maria and said, "Maria, how did they do that at your church in Angola?" She paused for a moment, and then she said, "In my church in Africa, we do not have pamphlets or missions. We just send 2 or 3 Christian families to live in a village. And when people see Christians, what Christians are like, then they want to be Christians too." Somehow, I believe that that may be the best way of all for us to sow the seeds of the gospel. The best type of sower is a person who loves God, who adores Jesus Christ, and who loves other people. The light of Christ shines through their lives. They respond to the gospel, and they share that with other people. Of such is the kingdom of God. May it be so for you. May it be so for me. Will you pray with me? Come among us, Lord Jesus. Give us ears to hear and eyes to see and hearts that respond. Make us soil which receives the seeds of truth and enables us to bear fruit for the sake of the kingdom. We ask in your name and for your sake. We love you and we thank you for loving us first. Amen.